Conciliums with Pete and Charlie.
I'm Pete.
I'm Charlie.
The unity of knowledge.
That and a whole bunch of caffeine is what's going to get us through this.
Where does me, mama come from?
I don't know. Isn't that a warm-up exercise that actor uses? But the one I was doing was Chevy Chase in Caddyshack.
Yes, but I. But you made me think of me, mama.
And I think I'm actually adding something to it. Warming up your lips, warming up your mouth, warming up whatever thing you got to warm up.
Okay, now.
I don't know how they do that in the adult film industry, but I'm always gross. What do you mean, now I'm gross?
This summer, when we recorded during the summer, there was a feeling of lawlessness, of sort of...
You know, really? Were we rebellious?
Devil may care. You can do whatever you like. But now, we're in a room next to a crowd of like 5-6 undergraduates, and to
talk... like BSing about where to find the best barbecue
to talk Atlanta. About sex near the children is bothersome to me.
I don't understand what society's obsession with nudity is. I'm going to go with George Carlin. He said he wasn't sure who said it first, but he agrees with the sentiment. I would rather have my children watch two people making love than two people killing each other. And while that does lead to certain practical issues and awkward questions on the drive home, I just don't care. That's a very natural thing, and killing people is a bad thing.
Violence is often a tool of state power, and sexuality is often a tool of rebellion. That's
it
why.
Is? I thought it was just, you know, a good diversion that allows you to burn a few calories while you're at it.
Let me
the
ask
bar
you,
is low at my age.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Did you have sex outside the bonds? Is it bonds of marriage in your life at any time?
No, because even though my wife is a very petite woman, she's wiry.
No, I'm not asking if you were an adulterer.
Okay. Am I a fornicator?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, who isn't? Come on.
This is my point. There are rules against fornication. There's laws against
it. But let me quote
sexuality.
My roommate, right? My freshman roommate, Mike.
It finds a way. It's like water on asphalt.
But in Europe, people, you know, they live together, they have two kids, and then they think about marriage.
I don't know why you would compare American attitudes towards nudity to the Europe.
I think we should be more like Europe.
But the whole point is, why is America the way it is? That was what you asked.
Do we go all the way back to the Puritans and the Pilgrims?
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. When you ask a question, do you expect an answer, or are you just asking it to see what happens?
Sometimes I expect one, sometimes not.
Well, when you're on mic and you ask a question, you should definitely expect an answer, and you should expect to have to defend your question.
I thought I was only having to defend my answer. Man, who died and made you Heinrich Himmler?
I am at the board. And a Nazi joke? What is wrong with
it's
you?
It's not a Nazi joke. It's a Nazi insult, damn it.
You come in here yawning, talking about how you did scuba all weekend. Good teacher.
I would advocate.
I'm a pretty damn good teacher. The kids are good to have me.
I would advocate the nudist movement, except for practical reasons, because I'm an engineer. Sticking to the furniture in the summer. That's really. And distractions. It's just distracting.
That's also quite.
And then also abrasions.
Yeah, I feel like if I was nude, I would knock my bits, let's call them, against everything.
Yeah,
like I can't even keep from bumping into the threshold when I'm walking through a door. You know.
Yeah, and then so as follically challenged gentlemen, we know that you bump your head on something, hair is a very protective layer.
Yeah, I also like having something to modify.
Put your wallet in, put your pen in.
No, I'm actually talking about smoothing out the sort of bulbous
cover
nature
up
of
the,
my body.
Cover up the belly. Yeah, it's good. That's why we're both untucked shirt guys.
Yes.
Works well for us.
I've been an untucked shirt guy
yeah,
since
and then,
the
90s. And then, but that's what I'm saying. If everyone walked around nude, it would be very distracting. We would be the horrifying kind of distracting. Other people might be the interesting kind of distracting. But either way, no one would get anything done.
I was actually thinking about this morning because I don't know if you've noticed the fall fashion is...
I don't really notice anything that has the word fashion in it.
Shorts have gotten much shorter and much tighter.
Okay. I hope not for men your age.
No, not for men my age. No. I was thinking about the Victorian era and our sort of factoidal understanding of the Victorian era that an ankle was was sort of a thrill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As opposed to now, where I swear there was a butt cheek hanging out.
I was in the security line in TSA at the airport a couple of weeks ago, and if your butt cheeks are hanging out of your shorts, they're too short.
Okay.
Do we just sound like grumpy old men?
No.
Dang it, kids, knock this off.
Let's engage with this, though. This is the thing. So, yes, I mean, I think that's true, too. Uh-huh. But also recognizing that there was a time where if you showed some knee,
yes,
you had to go to jail. You know, or pay a ticket, right? Recognizing that there was a time when the ankle was the sort of shocking kind of thing.
And this is mainly governments run by men trying to tell women how to dress. It's been around for a few hundred years. It's crazy. Ladies do not put up with it.
It's a while, right?
Thousands of years.
I mean, imagine, like, look at the, what's it called? The burqa, right?
Don't even get me started on the burkini.
And the burkini, yes.
I will lose my crap, man.
But again, back away from the literal truth of the vision, right? Of seeing someone who's dressed in a particular way. But think about just like, oh, rock and roll, that devil music or the
leather pants, the obscenity,
the obscenity in books, right? Things have become looser and looser. And I know that in the 90s, when I was a young man, that I was shocked.
You were never
shocked.
I tell you, you were never a young man. Don't kid yourself.
Right. That there was a time when people had a problem with, say, naked lunch. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or
right.
I didn't expect to talk about this, so I didn't have anything prepared. Even
it's okay.
Like,
we're going off on a rant.
Cultural change is happening when you are in your moment and you see what is fashionable and correct for you at for your youth.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, look. Everything before this was fussy,
mm-hmm,
and foolish and sort of a construction, right, of state or patriarchal power.
And we'll say the same
power
about what we were now when we're all wearing pastel jumpsuits in the future.
Or whatever. But right, so now if you put yourself in the mind of a 20-year-old or if you try to put your 20-year-old mind to work to empathize with what's going on, mm-hmm, right now, the butt cheek hanging out,
mm-hmm,
is like the very tight skirt, is like the
yeah,
short
it's like
pants,
the bikini,
like the
it's like the hot pants. We had hot pants, and we had the short skirts.
And not that it's equivalent.
And they were all very impractical, but wasn't everyone just trying to get laid?
Yeah, and you shouldn't think
that.
You shouldn't
that's
think
a
that
natural act,
this
kids
is not like, oh, these are equivalent things. They have equivalent effects, right? And eventually nudity will be, you know, whatever it is.
I think there's a time and place for nudity.
I still hear occasionally how in San Francisco they finally outlawed public nudity, and my head keeps snapping around. I'm like, when was it legal? And it turns out that there was, mm-hmm, some thread of San Franciscan kind of public nudity. You're saying, okay, like, I don't want to talk about this, but do you hear what I'm saying?
Does that not sound crazy to you? Nudity. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, there are people that wanted to, you know, cover up David's Winky, the David by Michelangelo statue.
It's not called a Winky if it's made out of porcelain or marble. Excuse me, marble.
Look, you use your words for junk, I'll use mine.
A stone cock is not a Winky.
I just don't care if my kid sees this gorgeous sculpture, which is a wonderful work of art, with his junk hanging out. I don't care if Venus Rising with the clamshells. I don't care.
The Statue of David, which I have seen in person once.
I have too.
It literally took my breath away when I went around the corner. Because you walk down the hall and it seems very much like, oh, this is going to be terrible. This is going to be like, you know, a statue in a room. Everything's sort of brown. And then you come around the corner and it's there. And it's amazing. And it really, my breath caught in my chest.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic.
For me, it was when I went around the back and saw the sling, the thin line of the sling going down. Also, David, you may not know this, nice ass.
Everyone knows David has a nice ass.
I guess they've shown pictures of that. And then you've got all these nice Italian ladies walking around. No flash photography. Put the camera away.
Because you did not read the signs.
So my son, who has his learner's permit, got in his first accident. And I was on the precipice, ready to just lose it. But then my wife explained he was changing lanes. He did signal. That was good. We had one of the dogs that we were taking to the vet that was a little distracting. And he hit the back of a pickup truck at about 3 miles an hour.
Yeah. I am still embarrassed to this day, mm-hmm, of my 30 years. Is it 30 years now? No. 25 years ago, knocking the side view mirror off of the station wagon and a little fender bender.
Yeah.
You know, not even fender bender, a dunk kind of accident.
Yeah. I have one of those about every 9 years. I just had one last month. And you know, it if you drive in big cities, it's going to happen. So at first I'm like, oh my God, I got an accident. Got an accident with our leased electric vehicle, the Nissan Leaf. I'm like, oh, what does this mean? And then so he hit this guy in a pickup truck. So basically the plastic crunched in on his trailer hitch, which is basically a spear in the back of the thing.
Yeah, usually
no damage to the other car.
Nothing. I had a friend in high school who drove a pickup truck, and some car crashed into his truck.
Yeah, they got that big steel bumper.
And essentially the car destroyed itself, and the pickup truck had a scratch. Yeah. Like, it was amazing.
So, and then this guy got out of the car. He goes, well, I better talk to my trainer. I may, no, you hit somebody 3 miles an hour. You're like, what was that? So, you know, my son felt very bad about it.
What did you just say? I should talk to my trainer?
I guess he goes and sees a trainer every week or something.
Oh, physical.
Yeah. So he was worried that he got whiplash or something.
Right.
There's no way. I wonder about these people. But in any case, so, it cracked the plastic and, you know, you replace that plastic part is $350. But still, if you were going to get in an accident to provide
Do you have a high deductible?
Yeah, I'm sure we got at least a $500 deductible.
Yeah, lower your rates, man. But make some
That's what I'm saying. I don't need insurance to replace the plastic part. And at first it was like, oh, my God, he did this. You know, and he felt really bad. He's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't drive anymore. So he learned his lesson. It was a minor accident. Everybody learned. No one was injured. Don't we as parents say that? It's okay, honey, as long as you're not hurt. When inside, we're like this guy who in Georgia, I think it was in Georgia, took a Bobcat. And his daughter was making out with her boyfriend in the car, and he took the car. I don't think she was in it. And there's a video of this. He took the Bobcat, flipped it over like 6 times, and just crushed the roof.
I take it that the Bobcat you're talking about was a construction
vehicle.
Yes,
the construction.
Not a Bobcat.
Not an actual, because it would be tough to focus on the car with a Bobcat. They're pretty ornery. So when I got home, we just talked about it. And so he's going to get a ticket for following too closely, and that's going to be a few $100 fine. He's working as a busboy now. He will pay that fine. It's a good lesson. And I'm like, okay, we all learned. It's good. I did not get upset at all. And that's how I'm getting in my old age. Why get upset about stupid stuff? I still get upset about some stupid stuff, but I'm trying to reduce that. And his car accident, good learning experience. Nobody got hurt. It was bound to happen one of these days. And I don't care if people wear short shorts or things like, well, I wouldn't wear that because I'm old and hairy. But if you're going to wear that, I don't really care. If I saw a nude person in San Francisco, I'd be like, hey, how you doing?
Except, wait, didn't you say, oh, I was in line at the TSA and whoa, just too much.
Yeah. So that's my opinion.
Right.
But I'm not going to stop this girl and say, those are the devil's shorts.
So, yeah, you're not going to get on her, and you're also not going to you're not going to push for a policy change. So
no. And she was wearing like this long shirt or jacket that she had to take off when she went through the security line, and you could tell she's like, I really regret having put on these shorts this morning.
Right, she's like, don't make me take apart the outfit.
Yeah,
it only works.
You know, I spilled tea on my shirt this morning. You know, I'm trying the best I can. I'm not going to judge other people too harshly.
There's a West Wing line, you know, on your best. What are you doing?
No, I'm sipping my tea.
You can't do that without warning people. On your best day, you probably make 6 mistakes, I think was the line from West Wing. Right.
I don't think I've ever had a rate that low.
Exactly. And I was just thinking, I've already made my 6 mistakes. And in fact, found out that I had made, you know, a previous mistake. Then it was a scheduling thing. And then that created a set of 4 more mistakes throughout the week that I've already made.
And then a cascade.
You know, passively, I made these mistakes.
That Aaron Sorkin, what a writer.
All right. So the thing that I showed you, and I don't know how we ended up. How did we end up talking about shorts?
You were talking about the youngsters out in the lobby.
Oh, we're talking about sex with. Yeah, right. Okay. So here's a quote from the show notes from a 99% Invisible episode called The Mind of an Architect. It was published or dropped or however released July 12th, 2016. It's still available at the website. You go to 99pi.org. You can look at all of their shows. All right. Here's a quote from the show notes. Whoops. I should have held on to it. I'm scrolling up and down.
There's a lot of graphs involved, a lot of bar graphs.
Okay. The Institute of Personality Assessment and Research found that creative people tend to be nonconforming, interesting, interested, independent, courageous, and self-centered, at least in general.
Ooh, I don't like that self-centered part, but it's a fair cop.
I think you and I both consider ourselves creative people.
It's probably not true, but we do consider ourselves creative people.
All right, let's go ahead and just unpack this. We've got a certain amount of time that we can talk. Let's go ahead and just see how far we can get on this sentence. Why do you think that it's probably not true that we're creative, even though we think we are?
No, I'm just being humble. I think we're pretty creative. We may not have been successful in the application of our creativity, but
there we go.
We do think outside the parallel biped.
You son of a bitch.
Whip a little geometry on him and see where it goes.
So I have dabbled in
the dark arts,
the creative arts,
okay,
quite a lot through my life.
Okay.
And
I hear you write, yet you will not share your prose with moi.
Well, what is the name for the present continuing? I don't write. I once wrote fiction, certainly.
Okay.
I have an unpublished novel. And
this was like Pokemon fan fiction?
Yeah, 5 or 6 unpublished short stories and a lot of crap, a lot of, what would you call it, remnants and fragments.
Okay, like carpet.
Yeah, like when you're cutting a carpet over
a
vent. And I did that, and I've worked with video and scripting, mm-hmm. Audio-visual entertainment.
Right.
I've never done any like painting, drawing, or sculpting kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it's not
I can't
really my,
draw at all.
Yeah, I would not say that I'm very artistic,
mm-hmm.
but I have produced a lot, mm-hmm. both art, like pure sort of self-indulgent art, and then also scholarly communication that is aesthetically pleasing, that kind of thing. Like Lost in the Stacks.
Yes.
Or even, I would hope this. Like, I hope someone got a chuckle out of something we've said. But then I also don't think of myself as creative so much as I just think of myself as doing work.
Wait, you came up with the idea for the world's first Research Library rock and roll show?
I and my friend Amit.
Fridays at noon on WREK, and you're telling me you're not creative? And the quote you started with is, most creative people, and I think that is creative, would look at you and say, you are nuts. What did they say? Nonconforming, right? Courageous, independent. You do things where people... Did someone say to you when you came up with Lost in the Stacks that, what are you, goofy? Did someone say that to you?
No, that's the thing. We had... And maybe that's why I don't feel so creative. Like, I have had so many frictionless... situations.
Well, perhaps
of
you live in this creative,
exactly, yeah,
creativity nurturing environment,
or not even creativity nurturing so much as experiment nurturing. Like, we came to Rec and we said we want to do this show, and it's like, oh, cool, you know. And it
right.
could have been terrible,
but I'm sure you've had your failures. This podcast among them.
I've had a number of failures.
I've had tons.
Do you think that this podcast is a failure or is an experiment? Because
it's an experiment that I find is cheaper than psychotherapy, so it works for me.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like this is good that we've done this. I feel like I've learned a lot from both the production practices and then also the way that we interact. But also, we joke all the time about our listenership, but it's pretty static.
All 7 of them.
Yeah.
Thank you, folks. Thank you, folks, for listening.
Thank you to everyone who downloaded this and is listening to it. It's wonderful that you are...
Except for those of you that are reporting us to the FBI as we speak.
The FBI has no time for us. It's wonderful that you are taking time out of your listening
mm-hmm.
to put us in your ears. And I appreciate it. I appreciate anyone who listens to anything that we do. Why are you laughing?
No, because I listened to a podcast that my daughter recommended on a topic that I'm working on another media yeah. thing with, on cooking with weed. And, oh, my God, it was horrible.
Why?
You just got one host and another guy who was an NPR host, uh-huh. actually. And they met a chef in New York who prepared a bunch of dishes. And maybe this is the anal retentive science-y guy in me. Did not think about the dosing of cannabinoids at all. Got them totally stoned. And then they came back a week later and said... did you think about how much stuff you put in there? Because we were zonked out of our gourds.
Well, it sounds like that was quite fun.
Oh, actually, it was fun, but I like to think the project that I'm working on with some folks in California is little more...
The podcast itself was not awful. It was the experiment. Okay, yeah. So...
The podcast was fun, actually.
Non-conforming. That's the first adjective in the... A creative person comprises these qualities. Non-conforming, interesting, interested, independent, courageous, and self-centered.
But you're already non-conforming because...
How are we non-conforming? That's my question, because I'm sitting here in a shirt that I bought. Well, this is not Target, but like...
That's got Kohl's written all over it.
Yeah. Department store shirt. Levi's jeans, Doc Martin boots, right? Nike socks, dry fit.
We all... Do you like the Nike socks?
Well, yeah,
Nike makes a good product. I like their running shoes.
This is corporate as hell. And I
no, because you're not wearing a suit and a tie. Also, you're untucked.
No.
But your nonconformity is not in your choice of loungewear.
Clearly. I'm wearing
it's in your idea that rock and roll and research library could go together.
That's one thing, but also I'm...
100 years ago, they'd have you burnt at the stake for
that. What's the conforming I didn't do? What was the conforming that I noned, right?
Here, making your foul-mouthed statements in a podcast, and you do it on the radio, and you're trying for something, and this may not be the ultimate experiment. This may just be a learning experience for us to say the ultimate experience is aardvarks and wombats together again on the radio. We don't know what it is, but you're trying stuff.
Oh, man. We got to do a show called Aardvarks and Wombats.
Sounds like Cabbages and Kings.
You and I are both married.
Strange,
with
weird,
kids,
nonconformist.
Homeowners in the suburbs of Atlanta. We are and white and bald and bearded.
If you put round glasses on us, we'd each look like Dick Cheney in our own special way.
You asshole. There's no... I mean, what's conformed? We are conformed. Have you ever been in jail?
No.
I've never been to jail. I don't think I've even been arrested.
I didn't even get in trouble when I went to Vegas last time.
If you count the ticket, like a speeding ticket being pulled over, yeah. Right, I've been arrested twice. Because I think technically that's an arrest, but it's also like, you know, low-grade trouble.
So I just got one of those last week in a school zone. It was the second week of school. Nobody was paying attention. They pulled everybody over in my defense. It was an accident.
I think you talked about that last time. So... You know, where's my nonconformity? What do I even go against? I go against nothing. I have Apple products, and I buy stuff from iTunes.
Right, but you go against this uptight view here at Georgia Tech that librarians should sit behind a reference desk and scold people for misuse of the split infinitive.
Okay, maybe. But, like, what are the qualities of both of us? I appreciate you... I appreciate you trying to get me through this.
No, but people think you're nuts for some of the stuff you do. I mean, the fact that I mix humor with science and engineering and STEM outreach, some people think that's the coolest thing ever. There are people here who literally, and I'm going to use a four-letter word, hate me over that. Hate me. I can name them, too.
Well, I don't name them, but can you say, what's the nature of the hate?
The fact that I'm doing something that is so nonconformist, so different, so new that it is considered inappropriate.
That
I should not. Yes.
Huh.
Worse yet, people have made my life miserable because of it. I have been told that this is just not the way a faculty member in chemical engineering should carry themselves.
Straight up, someone told you that this is not how you should do it. Well, okay, now that's more nonconformist than anything I do, because no one's ever said to me, well...
Well, you just have a bunch of nonconformist hippies in the library. Like, okay, what was this party we had in the library? You had dodgeball on the second floor while we were doing stand-up comedy in the adjacent room.
I understand you
what got... What kind of a willy-nilly crapola is that?
I understand you got very upset before you did that event.
Nice lady who hired me, could she tell I was kind of upset? I feel so bad.
I got a call from you, and I didn't...
Oh, yeah, I was pissed.
I didn't hear
it
good.
Until
later.
Then I didn't share that with the library, who was great. Tom found me an adapter for our plug. He was great. The library staff was great. I just had this wagon full of audio equipment, and I went to the entrance from the Clough Undergraduate Learning Commons, and it was locked, and I'm like... So I was just angry. So I went in, and they did get me a couple libraries. We had to carry my stuff up the steps. I would have gone completely around the other direction had I known that. I didn't. It was not a big deal. And I certainly, the library folks were great. And who was the woman you...
Emmy Decker.
I think she was there, but I didn't talk to her. I kept looking for a woman saying, hey, are you Emmy? But I hope she didn't sense that I was upset. I was not upset with the library. I was just ticked because I went to the wrong door.
Okay.
But then I'm like, damn it. I was losing it, right? What kind of place are you running here?
You just reverted to some old patterns. I was not at that event. I did not, structure it.
It went very well.
An organizer.
And we had a great show, and we were in this much smaller room. Well, because we knew how it went, and change for old people is confusing. No, it went great, and I do owe Tom his grounded adapter, so it was good.
Oh, you should give that to me sometime. I'll take it to Tom.
Okay, I would. No, Tom was great. The library folks were great, but you're in a bad mood because you had to walk up steps with 100 pounds of equipment. And
interesting and interested. What does that mean to you?
We are both interested in numerous things.
Meaning,
are we interesting? Yeah, you do not paint an interesting picture of us, Brad. We're white guy suburban homeowners in the suburbs.
Who do you find interesting?
Who do I find interesting? Yeah, you caught me off guard there, man.
So I think that maybe the interested really is just a way of saying you find things interesting. You find...
Yeah, you're willing to explore new and diverse things. Yeah. I find Pope Francis interesting.
Yeah.
I think he's a pretty cool dude.
I find you finding him interesting.
That's okay. You don't have to find him interesting. I was raised Catholic. I was beaten severely by nuns in Catholic school. And finally, a guy was like, man, it's all good, dude.
I think I told my wife recently.
What is that airplane sound?
It just comes right through the roof.
Wow.
I'll talk to anybody. I mean, I forget what it was. It was like maybe I had an appointment with somebody who wanted to know more about what the library was doing, something like that. And so I was like, well, the worst happens is I'll have a conversation with somebody. And I can have a conversation with anyone, is what I said. Because I think that's true. I mean, someone who didn't want to have a conversation with me, I wouldn't be able to make it happen. But if you just sat me down with anybody and said, all right, you guys occupy yourself for...
Because you're interested in other people's perspective, their point of view. You're not like, this is the way the world should be, and if you don't do it this way, you're wrong, and I don't like you, and I don't want to hang out with you. Those are some of the people I hang out with.
Yeah. And
the vast majority of my colleagues in chemical engineering are not that way.
You just got a couple that really...
I've been examining other departments, and here at Georgia Tech, we are pretty collegial, and we get along and we collaborate, and I'm lucky to have such a good group of staff, faculty, and students.
I like hearing you practice gratitude. Independent like a cat. Like a cat takes a shit on your floor. I mean, I don't feel very independent. Do you feel independent? You all right? Are you dying?
Do we mean independent?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to go to courageous, the next one. Are we courageous?
No. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm conflict averse. I don't like it. So I think that sometimes puts me in a position where
Then you're giving me crap on a regular basis. You're all over me. You're like my daughter saying. She's like, well, I'm kind of an introvert. I don't think I interview well. She gives me crap from the moment she walks through the door. She's all over me. She's like, well, Dad, that's a load of crap, and let me explain why. So she's very assertive with me.
But this is not conflict. I mean, you dish out as well as you get.
I do.
And we're friends, and we know that it's
right.
not gonna...
So when people make fun of me, I can't really... You got to have a thick skin because I teach you that pretty well.
Right. So. Yeah, it's just a thing.
Yeah. I do. I'm lucky to have my
colleagues.
Do
you feel independent? So the non-conforming and the independent, I have trouble with, and courageous too. I have trouble with because we work for this massive institution.
We work for an institution
that allows
a fair amount of intrapreneurial activities for you to do.
Did you say intra?
Yeah, that's entrepreneurial inside an organization.
That's very strange.
It is strange, but I like strange words.
Do we call them gold dollars when they move from tech department to tech department? Like at IBM, it was blue dollars.
Oh, I don't know what we call them.
What do we call them? Why don't you know?
Because what do you think? I know everything? I know hardly anything.
I feel like you've been here long enough that you know all the ins and outs of the...
No, you do not want to lift back the duct tape and look inside the administration because you will be frightened. I had my opportunity, and I just wanted to curl up in a fetal position and go, oh, my God, it can't be that bad.
Yeah.
Okay, you want me to give you my latest complaint?
I do.
So we pride ourselves on the way we run admissions. I think we do it very smoothly. I've met Rick Clark and his boss over there. I think they did a good job. But they admitted at the end of the first week of class, a whole bunch of transfer students, they couldn't do this 5 days earlier. I got five of them in my classes, five, which means it's probably over 100 total, right? If five of them were in chemical engineering alone. And I don't think that's very organized. So
so I feel like this is the absolute opposite of independent, because we are both dependent on the system that we're in, and also we're at its whim, you know?
We are, but we do some weird independent stuff within there. I like to think I do.
Okay.
So you're concluding that based on this article by IPAR, what's this called? The Institute for People...
Institute of Personality Assessment and Research. We're not quite done. Did we do courageous? Are you courageous?
I mean, in some ways. It depends who you compare it to. If you compare it to the average lemming in an educational institution, yes, we are courageous. But if you compare it to...
And this brings me to self-centered.
Guys that tilt
Do you
in
feel
the
self-centered?
Lists...
Because I feel self-centered.
Self-centered. Yeah, sometimes, I suppose.
I feel very into my own stuff. I feel like I feel like I'm trying to make everything work
right
around my need to do things.
I agree with that. And I'm very self-centered in traffic when I'm like, look, I'm important. I have things to do. Why are you blocking the way for me?
So, what do you think? Do you think IPAR is right? Do you think it's wrong? Do you think it doesn't really matter? Are you creative? Are you not a creative? Answer those questions in the order that I asked them, please.
Senator, my attorney has advised me not to answer these questions at this time.
Consilience with Pete and Charlie is a podcast about the intersection of science and the humanities.
What happened to the unity of knowledge, dude?
That's at the beginning. This is at the end.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for listening to Consilience with Pete and Charlie. You can find us on Facebook. You can like our page, share our episode announcements. Follow us on Twitter. You can find us on Tumblr, too, Pete and Charlie. We're all over the internet.
And what does the Georgia Institute of Technology and WRIK Atlanta think of the content of Consilience?
Hopefully, they'll never find out.